This is NHL Radio. Time now for NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Home Ice.
Well, welcome everybody to the NHL Hour. I am not Gary Bettman. I'm EJ Raddick. Good afternoon to everybody. Welcome to the NHL Hour. We're waiting for Gary to arrive. He's going to be joining us momentarily. I'm here with Frank Brown, works alongside Gary at the National Hockey League. Hello, Frank.
Hello, EJ.
Coming to you live from the NHL store powered by Reebok in New York City. The number to call, let's speak to the commissioner, 1-877-645-6696. That's 1-877-645-6696. And we're going to get to your call shortly. We're going to be joined later. Boy, what a great guest today for Gary here, Ray Bourque.
Fantastic.
Ray Bourque is on the show today. That's going to be a heck of a guest for Gary, so we look forward to him. And also, a real interesting story this year. You have all three Stahl brothers that are in the playoffs this year. Let's go through, see if I can remember them. Eric in Carolina, Mark in New York Rangers, Jordan in Pittsburgh. I do this for a living. It's amazing. And their father, Henry Stahl, will be on with us today. And now here he is, live, just running into the studio. This is a busy, busy man. The Commissioner Gary Bettman.
How are you? You know, this is a delight and a treat to have you here with us. And Bill Clement is somewhere laughing.
Yes, he is.
Because as close as I cut it to coming in, I've never been late.
Never been late with Bill.
But I've been having a crazy day. Not that I'm not whining. It's not that it's anybody's problem.
Well, what's happening? Fill us in.
No. I was in a series of meetings for most of the day.
What was going on in those meetings?
I lost track of time.
Oh, okay.
We were in budget meetings. That's that time of year for us. And I was on the phone. And I was in an extended conversation. And I looked up and I said, oh, it's 4 o'clock already.
Well,
and I'm supposed to be downstairs. So normally Frank drags me downstairs.
Yes.
But he didn't do that. So I actually missed the opening. But
you didn't miss much. You only missed a few seconds.
But the good news is you were here to fill in.
I was here.
How fortuitous was that?
It was very fortuitous of Greg Baldinger. Once again, doing a terrific job.
Are you getting overtime for today?
I'm not. I get undertime is what I get. But I'm happy to be here.
He was having business cards printed. Acting commissioner. Interim.
I was ready to kind of lay down a couple of rules for my new NHL, but unfortunately you're back.
subbing for me on this radio show isn't exactly the same as subbing for me as commissioner.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I've been covering this league for a while. You could keep that job. I know some of these crazy people that you have to deal with. Good luck to you. People don't know. I'll tell you, that's one thing that I think people overlook, when people look at the commissioner's office. They think they just see you at certain events. I mean, like today, you're in all these different meetings, and you're dealing with people. They all have different agendas, and you're trying to kind of make everything work together. I mean, I don't agree with everything you do over the years, but boy, it's a tough job. It's tough to get everybody on the same page.
Wait a minute, I'm crushed.
This
is the first I hear that you haven't agreed with everything
I do.
Well,
nobody always agrees with. I don't even agree with Greg Baldinger all the time.
You, I thought, at least agreed with me.
I agree with you on many things, Gary.
I am crushed.
I agree. I don't see that as a possibility that you being crushed about this, but I will say this. I agree with you on a lot of things. I don't on some, but I just think you have a very difficult job because you have 30 different owners. They all have different kind of things that they are looking at in their particular markets, and they may be pursuing one agenda, someone else another, and there you are trying to make it all work. It's a tough world today. So
I understand what you're saying, and there's a little something to it, but I will say, particularly over the, 17 years I've been doing this job or whatever it is, the owners in this league have been terrific and banding together and doing the right things for the game. Mm-hmm. And so while at any particular time there may be an issue that may affect one club, at least they may perceive it affecting them a little differently than some others or something they need or want, overall on the big stuff, they have been great.
Yeah. Well, and you love the job, too. I know that you really love this job.
Absolutely. I wouldn't do it otherwise. By the way, not only wouldn't I do it, I couldn't do it because it takes too much out of you. And if you're not jazzed and juiced about what you're doing, particularly when it's a lifestyle, it's not a job, you shouldn't be doing it. Speaking of getting jazzed and juiced,
yes.
What did you think about last night?
I was watching some other stuff.
Y'all know you were.
American Idol was on. It was a great night on Idol.
Oh,
I don't know if you caught
it.
That.
No, but, I was in Pittsburgh, actually.
Were you in Pittsburgh last night?
I was in Pittsburgh last night.
I'm excited. I mean, hey, it's playoff time. It's been a long season. It seems like for me this has been a long, you know.
No, it went quickly. It seems like yesterday I was in Prague and Stockholm.
And you were out here.
And the season just flew by. We were out here
giving the motorcycle away and giving the car away.
Right. I mean.
That's true.
When you think about it, because the season was so competitive and so entertaining.
It was a great season.
Okay, it went quickly.
Well, for you, it might have went quickly. For me, it was a longer year. I'm just going to give you my two cents here, all right? But the bottom line is we're in playoffs.
Yes.
We had a great games last night.
We did.
And how was the feel in Pittsburgh? They must be really revved up there.
First of all, with injuries being overcome, getting a full roster of players, changing coaching, this team is performing a whole lot better than it did 3 months ago. And as always, the fans in Pittsburgh were juiced, wired. The building was electric. Last night was their 108th consecutive sellout.
Wow. We've come a long way in Pittsburgh, haven't
you
we?
You know, it's funny. I like going to Pittsburgh for that reason, because that was one of those franchises that had been written off. You know, bankruptcy, no prospect of a new building. By the way, as I was driving into the building, there's a lot of steel going up across the
street. I was
going
to ask you about that. Did you talk to the officials there? Is there any update on, how it's going?
It's going fine. Actually, I had a long chat with Ken Sawyer, president, David Morehouse, who's with Ken there as well. I saw Ron Burkle and Mario Lemieux, and everybody's really excited, as are the fans. It won't be ready for next season. It's the season following. Mm-hmm. So meanwhile, they've got the building going up, 108 consecutive sellouts. They announced that their ratings were a 6.9 or 7 locally, which set an all-time record for them, which is incredible because they're one of the best-rated teams locally. And they signed a new radio deal. So Pittsburgh is alive and well as it should. And there's a lesson in that. Notwithstanding ownership problems or bankruptcies or a lack of a new building, franchises can get fixed.
Yeah, and we've seen it happen in the league. But, I mean, Buffalo went through that, Pittsburgh, Ottawa, and they all have bounced back very well. I want to ask you, Gary, too, while we're here chatting. You're at one game. I know you're interested in the other games. Are people sending you notes about things that are going on? Are you in communication during the game?
Well, two things. One, and it's a tension that I have to go through. It's not a woe is me, but particularly in the first round of the playoffs, I find it easier being in the office or at home because I can watch lots of things at once and I can have a sense of everything that's going on. When you're at a game, you're a little more isolated, particularly because I spent the first two periods sitting in the stands. Third period, when I was in the suite, it's a little easier to be in communications outside. Using the technology devices that are available, I'm able to track scores in real time, thanks to NHL.com mobile and the other features that are available. And the use of cell phones, I touch base with Coley Campbell on a regular basis. As I was, heading out after the game and was in the car, I called Coley to see how, what had happened in Washington, if there were any issues. He was updating me on the St. Louis and Vancouver game. He talked to me about the Devils and Carolina. So, I get an update, but it's not real time. And also, when you're sitting in the stands, sometimes they had a video review early on a goal, whether or not the net was off the post, whether or not it was kicked in. I knew that that's what they were doing, but I'm sitting there like everyone else.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'll do when there's a video review going on is touch my cell phone or my BlackBerry, lest anybody thinks that while I'm sitting there, have anything to do with that process.
That's an interesting point, though, because that's going on. That was a very interesting call last night. It was kind of a close call. Everybody in the arena is waiting. People are sitting. You're in the stands, so people are sitting around. They see you.
Yes.
Are people yelling at you?
Some.
step in there.
No. There. Come on, what's the call? Actually, while the review's going on, it is not a matter of concern.
Yeah.
It's what, making
that's
sure.
That's true, but afterwards.
But you know what? The combination of video available in the building and the fact that Coley Campbell and Mike Murphy and the guys at Toronto do this and have done this so many times, they must review 8,000 goals or pucks close to the net were they goals in the course of a season? They know which angles distort the view, which angles are conclusive. There are probably 800 or 900 reviews that are tough ones that they have to really work their way through. So, you know, less than a handful of times are they wrong in the course of a season. You know, we don't want them to be wrong ever.
We get calls, you know, when I do the show with Don, the NHL Live program, fans always call about that kind of stuff. And I just always feel like, hey, no one's going to get something right every single time. It's just not who we are as human beings.
Well, but as a matter of practice, procedure, and the technology available, our goal is to get it right every single time. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes, you know, in less than the five times, and it's typically less than five times in the season where we get it wrong, it's either because there was a technological problem, we didn't have the right camera angle, the network didn't run the feed that we needed until after play resumed, or there was some glitch in the system. Although it's gotten better this year because we installed the ability of Toronto to talk to the officials on the ice. So the system works pretty well. I think our video replay system is really good.
Yeah, well, I'm going to let you take over your own show again here. I see you got calls. I don't know. I want to get out of the way here, so take over. You're the commissioner.
I got to do a little bit of business. First of all, the Cisco All Access pregame show airs on NHL.com, and it starts at 4:30. You can watch it live and turn off the sound and listen to us.
Absolutely.
Or you can watch it live, or you can watch it on demand after our show.
Exactly, so which would probably be a better idea.
Well, you know, I have no ego
in
this.
You might want to hear Ray Bork, though. You might want to hear Henry Stahl.
Well, but you can always download us after the fact as well, off of NHL.com, because NHL.com gives you anything you want, anytime. Games tonight, Montreal at Boston, Calgary at Chicago, Columbus at Detroit, Anaheim at San Jose. And Frank Brown gave me this interesting tidbit. Think about the young stars playing tonight in the playoffs. Bobby Ryan in Anaheim, 22. Rick Nash, Columbus, 24. Taze and Kane, 21 and 20, respectively, in Chicago. Steve Mason for the Blue Jackets in goal, 20 years old. It really speaks volumes about the talent level and the future talent level of our game.
It's amazing. It's really, you know, and I said this yesterday. I was up in Bristol doing some stuff with Barry Melrose and Matthew Barnaby for ESPN, and you know, we were talking about that. It's a great time for hockey fans because there are just so many great players all the way around the league. And you know, personally, we get these arguments about the stick fouls and stuff like that. I think it's great what you guys have done because we want to see guys who have this skill really be able to shine and be able to show off the skills that they've honed over the years. And I just think it's a great time for hockey fans. A lot of fun.
It is a great time. And one other thing to note, Chicago's back in the playoffs. St. Louis is back in the playoffs. And, you know, there was a book that they made into a movie, which always makes me think of the team, Goodbye Columbus by Philip Roth, I believe. Columbus, welcome. Not goodbye, but hello to the playoffs for the first time in the club's history.
Will you be going for games? I knew you would be going.
How did you know?
Because you're the commissioner. It's the first time they've been in.
Tuesday night, it'll be the first home playoff game for the Columbus Blue Jackets in their history, and I will be there.
Boy, that's going to be some night.
You see, one of the good things about my job, and there are a lot of good things, is I get to go to any game I want, and I generally get pretty good seats.
Generally speaking. You know, it's true. I never see you when I'm up in the upper deck. I never see, where's Gary?
I go up to the upper deck. I come visit.
I didn't say you didn't, but I just said, generally speaking, you're right. You get good seats, and you should get good seats.
You think?
That's the way I would do it.
You know, for a guy who's been on the air for 2 hours already today, running around, you've got a lot of energy.
I've got a lot of energy for a guy with no sleep.
Why don't we, talking of energy, let's take some calls, and how about Mike in Toronto? You're on with me, the crew. This is XM, Sirius, 208, 204, whatever.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
We're good, Mike. How are you?
You know what? A great segue to, you brought up a good point of all that young talent in the league, and it's fantastic to see them growing. And I'm a huge hockey fan. I've been for years. And watching last night's hockey, the Rangers game, was absolutely disappointing. And I'm very dismayed with the NHL allowing Sean Avery back in the league because that guy is probably a cancer to the league and doesn't stand for anything the league stands for. So I'm very disappointed with you not reacting to the Rangers and saying, no, Sean Avery cannot come back in the NHL. Can you give me your viewpoint on that?
Sure. There are those who think that I was too harsh in suspending him for six games when he said some things that were clearly inappropriate. He occasionally gets penalized for some of the things he does on the ice, and he does a lot of things that some people don't like but don't transcend the rules. And the fact of the matter is, I wouldn't take lightly and don't take lightly depriving somebody of their livelihood. I mean, Sean Avery is a gifted hockey player. He may do things and say things that some people don't like, and when he crosses the line, we hold him accountable. But I don't think he's committed yet a capital offense that should have us say, Sean Avery, you can't play anymore in this game. That's really a pretty harsh thing to do to anybody in any profession. And frankly, while he may be a bit of an agitator on the ice, he's not the first player to agitate. He won't be the last. And you know, some people love him and some people hate him. And I get calls from people who say, tell the officials to stop picking on him. And they're not picking on him. And I reject the notion that he's a victim. But by the same token, I understand it. But I think saying that, you know, Sean Avery or any player who's done certain things shouldn't be allowed to earn a living playing this game. There are lines that could be crossed. You know, the one that comes to mind, if we ever found a player gambling on the results of our games, he'd be gone. But, you know, to ban Sean Avery from earning his livelihood and being a player in this league, I think would be a bit extreme under all of the circumstances. How about Don in New Jersey? You're on with me and a bunch of other people, and, you know, we're just having a good time enjoying the playoffs.
Hey, Gary, how you doing today?
I'm good.
I just want to say you're doing a great job. I love everything that's going on in the NHL right now. Playoffs are fantastic. I love it all. My only problem right now is watching the Flyers game last night on Versus, and I saw the whole first period, and they blocked, after the first period, they blocked the rest of the game on me.
Really? They shouldn't. Yep. They shouldn't have. Wait a minute. Versus had the game, and we're... And where were you located?
I'm in New Jersey.
Where in New Jersey?
Like southern New Jersey, closer to Philly.
Well, it may be, and I'm going to take a guess here, that Versus was probably supposed to be blacking out the game, and you were supposed to be picking it up on the Comcast Regional down there. And when they realized that they shouldn't have been carrying the game, they turned it off. And you probably should have picked up the local Philadelphia feed from Comcast. Do you typically get the Comcast Regional? That's the question. No, you don't? That's probably...
No, because I have DirecTV. I don't have Comcast.
Well, no, but if you have DirecTV, how do you typically get Flyers games?
I can see Flyers games all season on Versus when they had them on.
And what about on the local regional, Comcast Sportsnet?
No, I don't get Comcast at all. I can't get Comcast.
Well, no. Even though when you're on DirecTV...
Do you have Center Ice?
Well,
I have Center Ice, yes.
Well, that's how he probably picks it up then, isn't it?
Well, no, but if he's in the Philadelphia market,
yeah,
then he needs to be getting the local Philadelphia games on the local regional sports channel, which is Comcast Sportsnet.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Gary. I just don't... Like, I know with my system, I have DirecTV... And I'll get MSG in those stations, so I agree with you. He should be able to get that, but...
Unless he didn't subscribe for the local regional package.
Package, exactly.
See, I'm making an educated guess based on my understanding how the rules work. I'll tell a dirty little secret. I'm blackout proof, so I get all the games, but that's just a special accommodation. Callers, stay on hold. We will get back to you shortly, and when we come back, we will be joined by Hall of Famer Ray Bourque. It's all coming up next on the NHL Hour. You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah. Lord, I was born a rambling man.
Hi, this is Dion Phaneuf of the Calgary Flames, and you're listening to the NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Radio. Now back to Commissioner Bettman.
Welcome back to the NHL Hour. This is Gary Bettman. Frank Brown's here with me. from the NHL. We'll get back to your calls soon. We played a little Southern Rock in Bill Clement's honor, since he's not here with us today. He's on assignment. But that's a shout-out to Bill. We miss you. And the Allman Brothers will make us think of you. But we have a special guest on the line. It's our pleasure to have Ray Bourque join us. Ray, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Mr. Bettman?
I am good. None of this Mr. Bettman stuff.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, for those of our listeners who just landed from a trip to the moon, you are a five-time Norris Trophy winner, first-team All-Star 13 times. You were a Stanley Cup champion in 2001 with Colorado, 21 playoff appearances, career leader in shots on goal with 6,206, all-time leading scorer among NHL defensemen. The list goes on and on. You played 20-plus seasons in Boston and a season and a quarter in Colorado. How are you?
I'm great.
You are great. First of all, before we go any further, on behalf of everyone in the NHL family and the hockey world, our deepest condolences on your dad's passing. We know he was a huge hockey fan and a huge presence in Moncton, particularly in the hockey community. And I want you to know you have you and your family have our absolute deepest condolences.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. He was my number one fan by far, that's for sure.
Well, by the way, and you have lots of fans, so that's quite a parade that he led. After playing for so many seasons, what does your body and mind do when playoffs start? Do you still shift into playoff mode?
Not so much body-wise now, but the excitement certainly perks up. And, you know, living in Boston, whenever Montreal and Boston will clash together, that certainly gets the juices going, and hoping that the Bruins find a way to get through Montreal. It's been a while. I know that when I was a player, I got to Boston in 79, and it took us till 88 to finally beat Montreal, and it seemed like we were meeting up with them every year, and it seems like it's been a while again, and the Bruins are in great shape and really set up for a great run. So, this would be an incredible start to their playoff series if they could get through Montreal. And I know they're favorites, and I really see them moving on. So that really gets me excited, not only the playoffs, but the matchup that the Bruins have right off the bat.
You've been working with the Bruins for a number of years now since you retired. Talk about the resurgence of the club, both on the ice and in terms of how the community has been reacting to the club.
Well, on the ice, it's been a couple of years here now in progress where they've, Claude Julien's come on and really has done a great job. They had, with Zdeno Chara and the Mark Savard free agent signing with some young guys from the draft, and Kessel, Krejci, Stewart, and Lucic, and so many other names that have really matured quickly for the Bruins to be in the position they're in right now. It's been a nice mix of veterans and youth that's really been doing a job for them. And in terms of the community, the people are really excited. They're relevant again, and we all know the sports town that Boston is and the success that they've had in this century with the Patriots and the Red Sox and the Celtics last year, and having the Bruins relevant and talked about in terms of possibly a Stanley Cup contender really has people excited, and it's a pleasant sight to hear and to see.
You're from Montreal. Were you growing up a Canadiens fan? And how was it for you to go to the big, bad Bruins?
Well, I was a Canadiens fan growing up, but I was also a hockey fan. And knowing that, once I got to a certain level, my chances of getting drafted were really good. And the chances ended up in Montreal probably weren't all so good. But the dream of playing in the NHL, I just wanted to play in the NHL wherever it might have been, and I was so fortunate and lucky to end up in Boston, in a town so rich in history and a great sports town, and actually only a 5-hour drive from Montreal. So I had the best of both worlds there, where whenever I wanted to go back in the off season, it was a short little ride, but also being in a place where, you know, being an eighth pick overall, I could have ended up in so many other places where expansion teams and all that. I went to an established team that had lost in the semifinals to Montreal the year before. And really all I had to worry about is going out there and doing my job and not having the pressure of carrying the load in terms of being the franchise player right off the bat or whatever that may have been. Who knows how I would have turned out then, but being surrounded by you know, a team full of veterans and great players certainly made it easy for me to come in and make the transition from junior to the NHL, and right off the bat things went well. And so, you know, I grew up in Montreal, but once I was drafted in August of 79, I automatically became a rival and a Bruins fan, and no longer was I a Montreal Canadiens fan, I'll tell you that.
It's amazing how conflicts can get resolved so easily. Yeah. We're talking to Ray Bourque. Ray, talk a little bit about how difficult or not it was when you were traded to Colorado and what it meant for you to in that year and a half actually have the opportunity to win the cup.
It was very difficult at that time in Boston, and I always said that, you know, the cup would be great to win, but you know, I wouldn't move to win the cup. But that changed. You know, the Bruins for a couple of years there before I asked to be traded, we were going through some really tough times, and and the atmosphere and everything was really taxing on me in terms of I was always a guy to show up to the rink with incredible passion and always had fun at the rink. And at that point, that wasn't the case anymore for me. And it was really affecting my play. And I was getting towards, you know, I was 39 years old, I think, at the time, or 38, turned 39, and really not knowing how much time I had left to play and not knowing if it was just the atmosphere or just my my ability in terms of my age affecting my play. So I wanted to find out. I wanted to be challenged again. I wanted another run in the playoffs. It had been a while after all those years of success in Boston and all that stuff. I decided to ask for a trade. It was a very tough call to make to Harry Sinden when I did make that call. Harry was really good about it. You know, I explained to him the situation, and he accommodated me in terms of sending me off to Colorado, a place that was just a godsend in terms of the talent and the team and the organization that they had there. And it was really nice. It was a great experience to see something else and to play with the team as talented as they were at that time. And so for me, you know, the only thing left was to win the cup, but the biggest reason I asked for the trade was just to get in a different atmosphere, to see if I had anything left. And I know that the minute I got to Colorado, things went really well, and we got to the conference final against Dallas. We lost in the seventh game, and I knew then that I was coming back for another season. And what a season it was when I went back in 2000-2001. We finished with the President's Trophy, the most points in the league, best goals against average. Saw Patrick beat the record for most wins for a goalie, and seen Joe Sakic and Milan Hajduk put up some incredible numbers. Both scored over 50 goals that year, and everything went really well. And we had an amazing run throughout the playoffs, and ended up winning the Stanley Cup in the seventh game. And really, a story that couldn't have been written any better for me in terms of playing my last game and winning my last game. And I knew going into that last season it was going to be it. So it was a tough call to make in terms of the trade. But when I look back on it, it was really a great experience for me and my family.
Let's go back to June of 2001, Game 7. The game just ends, and if you and I are both getting a little older, but let's see if my memory is right and you have the same recollection that I do. I hand the cup to Joe Sakic, who immediately, instead of hoisting it, gives it to you. What was going through your mind at that moment?
Well, Joe was an incredible guy, and after we won Game 6 in New Jersey, Joe's trying to track me down everywhere in the plane and asking me, Ray, so how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? I say, do what, Joe? He says, well, after we win, he says, okay. I said, I want you to pick up. I said, Joe, let's relax. Let's win the game, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about it and decide what we're going to do. But that's just the type of guy he was. He was so happy and excited for me to have an opportunity to win the cup. And he just wanted me to hoist that cup, and so many guys on that team and, you know, talked about just wanted to win it for me. And I know, you know, that was part of the motivation, but, you know, we all wanted to win it for each other. But obviously the storyline was the old guy kind of raising the cup, and that was kind of that's what was left for him to accomplish. And Joe just wanted me right next to him because he just wanted me to grab the cup and hoist it first. And just a classy guy, and I just remember hoisting a cup and just feeling an incredible relief to finally be able to say that, you know, I won the cup. And what a ride and what an experience it was. And it's such a tough, tough grind, and you have so much respect for all teams that have won it because four rounds NHL hockey is a tough grind, let me tell you.
There's no question. I don't know if you remember this as well, but 8 years ago tonight, April 16th, 2001, playing for Colorado, you're at Vancouver, and you appeared in Game 3 of the Western Conference quarterfinal. And that night, which today is the anniversary, you broke the record shared by Gordie Howe and Larry Robinson for most years in the playoffs with 21. Were you aware of that at the time?
No, I wasn't. I was just aware that I missed the first two games of that series because I had hurt my back in the last game against Minnesota, and I was out for about 10 days and just couldn't wait to get back. And that was my first game back of the series. That's what I remember. I don't remember breaking the record.
You have a son, Chris, who's in the Washington organization, and another son, Ryan, who's playing for Team USA at the IIHF World Under 18 Championships. Talk about being a hockey dad and what you've tried to pass on to your sons. And how good are they?
Well, they're two really good players. And Chris is actually starting his playoff series tonight in Philadelphia. He plays for the Hershey Bears and has been with the Washington organization for the last 4 years. He's played eight games, I think it is, with the Capitals this year. He scored his first NHL goal this year and had a really good camp this year, was the last cut, and he's getting closer and closer. I think it's just a matter of time for Chris before he's an NHL player. And Ryan, I'm actually in Fargo, North Dakota right now on the 13th floor of the Radisson Hotel talking to you guys and just waiting for him to play tonight. He plays in the quarterfinals against the Czechs tonight, and it's the World Under 18 Championships, and Ryan will be he'll be drafted this summer in June, he's a great player. They're both forwards. They're not big guys in stature, but they got big hearts, and they go after it, and they're very talented, and they got good speed, good skill, and they're a blast to watch. And for me, you know, these are two kids that grew up watching their dad play hockey and growing up in the Garden dressing room and the TD Bank North Garden dressing room and in the Colorado Avalanche dressing room and jumping on the ice before and after practices and just dreaming of, you know, Chris was dreaming to be like me and Ryan's dreaming to be like his brother, his older brother. So it's fun to watch, and they're doing what they want to be doing, and they're doing it for the right reasons and because they have a passion for it. And for me to watch, it's great because whenever they lace them up, they play hard and they go after it, and just a joy to watch.
Like their dad. Speaking of Ryan, isn't he going to be playing for Patrick Waugh on the Quebec Ramparts?
Yes, he's going to be playing for Patrick next couple of seasons. And, you know, it's a great town, and I played in the Quebec Junior League for 3 years, and I just know how Patrick handles his kids and what Ryan's going to learn there for the next 2 years. And it's more or less of a NHL schedule. And so he's got things set up for the next couple of years pretty good by what I hear and what I see. And he'll compete for his league and possibly, Memorial Cup championship, and I know Patrick has just went on to the semifinals. They won in the seventh game 2 nights ago, and they're moving on to the semifinals in their league. So he's having another good year this year. So, yeah, we're excited about that. And like I said, Ryan's gonna know who's gonna retain his rights in June this summer, and the draft's in Montreal, and you know we'll be there and we'll see what happens. But yeah, he's moving on and he's gonna get closer and closer to his dream, and that's playing in the NHL someday.
Ray, it's been great for you to be with us. You've been nothing but a terrific ambassador for this game, both on and off the ice. We wish you, Chris, Ryan, all the Borks, nothing but good luck. And we wish the Bruins good luck as well. And we'll see you around soon. Thanks for being with us.
Well, it's a pleasure, Gary. And we'll speak. We'll see each other soon at some point, I'm sure.
Look forward to it. That was Ray Bourque, everyone. Thank you, Ray, again for joining us. This is the NHL Hour. We're going to take a quick break. Callers, stay on hold. We will get back to your calls when we return. This is the NHL Hour.
Broken glass, broken hungry, broken hearts and broken bones. This is where we used to live. Why did you paint the walls? Why? You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by. And so,
hi, this is Jordan Stahl from the Pittsburgh Penguins. You're listening to the NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on the NHL Radio. Now back to the Commissioner Bettman.
Thank you, Jordan. A little bit later, we're going to talk to Jordan's dad, Henry, about what it's like to have three sons playing in the NHL in the playoffs on the same night. But this is Gary Bettman, along with Frank Brown. The call-in number again is 1-877-645-6696. That is 1-877-645-6696. Let's get to the calls. Lars in Salt Lake City, you've been on hold for a half hour, and you're on XM Sirius. This is the NHL Hour.
Hi, Gary.
How are you?
I'm great, and just wanted to thank you for loving your job, because I think you do a brilliant job, and I think the NHL is as great as it's ever been.
Thank you.
I've been a lifelong Blackhawks fan, and I was wondering, in light of the great success of the History of the Boston Bruins DVD, if there's any plans to make these historical DVDs of any of the other original six teams or any other teams, especially the Blackhawks.
Currently, I'm not aware of a plan to do a Blackhawks one right now. That doesn't mean, particularly with the club's resurgence, that there won't be interest in doing it in the next year or so. What happens is teams periodically will do a playoff highlight DVD. The Bruins, as you said, have just done one. I think there's one for the Flyers that's been out pretty recently. And Montreal, I think, just put out a set of the 10 most important, most exciting games in their history, which is also available on DVD. And if I'm not mistaken, the Edmonton Oilers have a DVD set as well. There's no, systematic or formulaic way that these things get done. I think when a club is interested at a particular point in having its history chronicled, they then come to us and we work on doing a DVD. And my guess is there's probably one in the not-too-distant future of the Blackhawks. But what I would suggest to our listeners, if you're listening and you want to know what is available, my guess is if you go to NHL.com, shop NHL, you'll see what DVDs are available and can be shipped to you quite promptly. Doug in Pennsylvania, you're on XM Sirius. This is the NHL Hour.
Hi, Gary. This is Doug from Pennsylvania. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think you do a great job.
Thank you.
I'm blessed with a hockey family, wife born in Toronto. I'm from New York, so I'm a happy Ranger fan. My wife's team, I'm not sure they're ever going to make the playoffs, but that's a whole other story.
We understand what team you're talking about, then.
Yeah, the Leafs have had a tough time.
Under Brian Burke, they will be back.
Absolutely. Well, her and I have a bet. Whoever team wins the Stanley Cup first, the other person has to get their team logo tattooed on their body.
Really?
So as you can imagine, in my house, it was pretty tense last night, but I'm happy with the Rangers' win.
Well, I'm not sure that I endorse either betting or tattoos, but it sounds like you've got your relationship just in the right place.
You know, you listen to a lot of Southern Rock. I figured you'd have some sleeves. You'd have some tattoos, Gary. I just thought it goes with the territory.
None that I'm going to admit to.
Hey, listen, the reason I called, the beginning of the Rangers game last night, there was a call that I thought was a kind of a phantom call. I think you do a great job. I think everybody in the league does a great job. But my concern still is the officiating. There was a couple calls last night that were really questionable, and I know you go through a process to pick the best referees for the position. And first question is, do they critique the referees after the game? Because there was a couple of calls that were kind of funky. And the last thing, I hate to say it, but Avery has made himself a marked man to a degree, but some of the calls against him, I think because he's a marked man. But my real question was, do you guys talk to the refs after the game when you see something that might be marginal? And I'll hang up and let you answer. And thanks again. You're the best commissioner in sports.
Well, thank you. First of all, I reject the notion that Avery's a marked man. When you play on the edge and you play close to the line, occasionally you're going to cross it and you're going to get called for things. That's just part of what being aggressive and an agitator is. And as I said before, I kind of reject the notion of Avery or any player being the victim. Our officials are being constantly critiqued. Every game is watched. Every game is chronicled. The officials are given input and feedback. And during the playoffs, every series has a series supervisor from the hockey operations department who's kind of like the coach, supervisor, presence, and is there throughout the entire series dealing with all of the officials, both referees and linesmen, who are working the series. So, yes, they are getting constant feedback. You know, when calls are questioned, sometimes the questioning's right, sometimes it's wrong. Overwhelmingly, the officials get it right. What I do as a rule of thumb, particularly when I'm at a game, and I was at Pittsburgh's game last night, so I didn't get to see the Ranger game against Washington. But my point is, the first thing I look at when a penalty is called or there's a non-call is, where are the officials standing? And did they get a good look at what's going on? And if they were in position and they got a good look, 99 out of 100 times, they're going to get the call right. And so that's the thing I'd look at whenever you're seeing a close call. But again, the officials are constantly being reviewed, analyzed, critiqued, and given feedback. Andy in New Hampshire, holding for 41 minutes. I apologize for the delay. I admire your perseverance. It's good to talk to you. I was a little too flattering. Andy, are you there? I guess he didn't hold on for 41 minutes. Oh, well, sorry for the buildup. Joseph in Houston, you're on with Gary. This is, and Frank, this is the NHL Hour.
Good afternoon, Commissioner Bettman.
How are you?
How are you today?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Coming from the South, I get to see the league from a distant perspective, if you will. But I had two quick questions for you.
Sure.
One, what created the influx of the Reebok product brand being spread throughout the National Hockey League, and I guess the unfortunate disappearance of brands like CCM and other like Coho and other brands? So what made Reebok the dominant brand? And also, I am a prospect in the career of hockey broadcasting in an unlikely market. I'm kind of out of my element. But what are some of the challenges you had entering the hockey career, and what advice would you give to a person looking to enter into hockey as a career?
Let me take the first question first. Reebok is the official supplier of our jerseys. They created a new system. They've invested a tremendous amount in the game. They are terrific partners, and they, through the hockey company and Reebok directly, make all sorts of great products for hockey, and we're thrilled to be associated with them. They're one of our most important business partners. With respect to getting into a career, Career in broadcasting, I don't know how you do that. in my case, it's a fluke. I'm a lawyer by training, and circumstances were such that I had an opportunity to go into professional sports. And, you know, you've got to work hard. You got to love what you're doing. You got to have the right training. And you got to probably have a little bit of luck. If you want to be a broadcaster, my guess is you need to start at the minor leagues and try and work your way up. But that's a good question. Anthony on Long Island, you're on the NHL Hour.
How you doing there, Gary? Great show there.
Thank you.
Just a few things I want to bring up, Gary. The things, you know, like, I'm a diehard Ranger fan, and I got annoyed when I heard that caller call before about that, why he's disgusted that Sean Avery should have been thrown out of the league and this and that. You know, I believe in second chances. At first, I was totally against Avery coming back to the Rangers. I said, oh, God, we got our hands full now. But, you know, we took him back. The Rangers took him back. And you live by the sword, you die by the sword. We know Avery plays on the line. We know it's either it's going to be a good line or it's going to be the bad part of the line. But, like, there's some things that go on in the games. Not, I'm not just saying in the Ranger games, in other games, but like, take last night's game, for instance. Mike Green brutally elbowed Freddie Shustrom in the face last night up against the boards. There was a ref and a linesman right there, and no one called the penalty on it. And I just can't understand how two people, two referees are standing right there, and they didn't see this penalty because they showed you the angle from down the ice, and they were right there when it happened. So I don't understand. Is it because it was Mike Green or if it was Alex Ovechkin, they can get away with that?
Well, you know what? Let me respond as succinctly as I can. I assure you that things are happening so fast on the ice. All the officials are doing is reacting to what they see. They're not micromanaging calls or the game based on who's doing what, because it's happening for them in real time, not on video replay, while they're on the ice skating around. And you know what? More often, most often, just about all the time, they're getting their calls and their non-calls right. And occasionally they're going to miss one, but it isn't because they've pre-selected a player. It is my treat to change gears for a second and talk to the father of three of our terrific players, Henry Stahl. Henry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for joining us.
No problem.
So last night, Mark is playing for the Rangers against the Capitals in Washington. Eric is playing for Carolina against the Devils in New Jersey. And Jordan is playing for the Penguins against Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, all at the same time. What did you do?
Well, we had a half-hour delay between Eric's start and the other two, so I've got two televisions and two remotes, and we have mutes and mute button going and the recall button going, and we're going trying to get all three games at once. And after watching Eric for a game for a little while, we kind of left that one behind for a while.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I don't know if our listeners know this, but you made a commercial for Game Center Live on NHL.com where we stream games and you can actually watch four games at once. So I think you need to either get another television set or be using the computer more.
Yeah, I never thought about that, actually. That's an idea.
There we go. How nerve-wracking is it for you to be watching the guys play, and what do you do when they play each other?
You know, I guess it's like anything. As you, the more it happens, the easier it gets in some respects. But I mean, yeah, especially the playoffs. I think that's the big thing. Regular season, I mean, yeah, you get the same, but the playoffs, it does get a bit nerve-wracking. You know, whether you know how they're doing, how the teams are doing, that sort of thing. But you know, when they play each other, it's not the easiest thing in a lot of ways. You can't hope for a tie in the playoffs, so that's kind of what we do in the regular season. So they both get a point, but you kind of hope they play well. You know that they contribute and they play well, and you know, may the best team win.
So this is just you and I talking. Nobody's listening. Which one do you really root for?
No, yeah, okay. Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
could you have imagined as they were growing up and you were raising them and they were learning the game that all three of them would excel to the point that they'd make it to the NHL?
No, never. Never, not in my wildest dreams, really. You know, it's just you played the game, you know, as kids, and just, you know, for the love of the game, and that's what they, you know, what most kids do, and it you know, it took them where it has, and it's yeah, it's been unbelievable.
What was it like for you the first time you saw one of them play at the NHL level?
It was a bit surreal. It was, you know, it was something that myself growing up, as you know, I mean, that was the ultimate thing. That's what I wanted to do, was play in the NHL, and to see, I guess it was Eric we watched in Carolina. It was it just didn't seem real. It was almost hard to believe that you see your son out there, you know, playing in a league that I've watched since, you know, I could ever remember. So it was really, really, it was almost an unreal experience in a lot of ways to see him out there. And, you know, he was so young, too. But it was a proud moment. It was a lot of fun, too.
With each subsequent child making it to the NHL, does it get easier or harder?
You know, it really doesn't change. Because, you know, you kind of have the same emotions for all of them. You know, as they go through it, you kind of, you know, you put yourself in their shoes a little bit, you know, as much as you can as a parent, you know, like any parent would do. So it doesn't really get any easier. It's every, you know, every situation is a bit different, but you know, the emotions are the same.
What's it like when they all get back together at Thunder Bay with you in the off season?
it's a lot of fun. They give it to each other pretty good in terms of, you know, and mostly more and more, you know, just their teams, like they're team guys, and you know, they're about, you know, different games and what happened in this game, or, you know, why our team is better than your team, and all those sorts of things, just like, you know, kids would do and when they're growing up, you know, and it doesn't change no matter how old they are. And I really enjoy it. I have a lot of fun with it, and, you know, and kind of, you know, throw in the odd comment here and there and things like that.
Do you like watching them in person, or particularly when the playoffs are going on and they're all playing, is it easier for you, or are you better off being at home?
Well, the reason why I like being at home now is because when you're in person, you know, well, especially like last time, when you got three at the same time, you kind of miss the other two or what have you, or, you know, so, yeah, like now I like it on television, but mind you, you know, when it comes down, of course, you know, like the last, we've been fortunate to go to two Stanley Cup finals, and we haven't missed one of those, and those are just, like, just the atmosphere in the rink, the building, you know, you got to be there.
I don't know if you were listening earlier, but I made the same point, that I find it hard to be at games in the first round because there's so much going on, and when you're at one game, you have no sense of what's going on anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly, so, and with us, it's all the more with the three guys making it this year, so, yeah, you're exactly right.
So when do you get on the road?
Well, we'll see. I mean, we go by the seat of our pants. We just kind of decide, okay, you know, maybe we're, like last year we had Mark and Jordan playing against each other, and we really didn't want to go for that. Like I said earlier, it's hard to sit there and, you know, sort of not cheer in some ways, but we did go to the last game, and we're kind of glad we did. Not that, you know, Mark got knocked out, but you know, either way, it was nice to be there.
Well, thank you for being with us. I wish you and the entire Stahl family nothing but good luck, and it should be an exciting playoff for all of you.
Yeah, it will be. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That was Henry Stahl. Why don't we take one call before we're done, because Greg in Las Vegas has been holding for a half hour. Greg, make it quick, because they're going to cut us off.
Gary, thanks a lot for having me. But hey, thanks for having the award show here. And my thing is, can we get a team out here? We will support you. But, Commissioner, you're one of the most visionary commissioners in the game. I think fans will support you. But what is it that scares you about Vegas? Is it the gambling, or was it the NBA? What is it?
Nothing scares me, actually. We're just not ready to relocate or expand. And if, in fact, we decide to do either, we'll consider all of the potential sites, including Las Vegas, if there's an interest there, an ownership group, and a new building. So this has been the NHL Hour. Coming up next is In the Slot with Mike Ross and Phil Esposito. I'll be back next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Until then, enjoy the playoffs. Have a great week. This has been a fun ride.
For more podcasts, check out NHL.com. This is NHL Radio.